The last number of weeks, we have been looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, talking about the Spirit-filled life and that how God wants to use us to touch other people's lives. And that all of those types of activities that we see there, although they vary and God doesn't use us in the same way, they're for the benefit of others. And right in the middle of those two chapters, Paul, it seems as though to us, he kind of switches gears and starts talking about love, all right? And so we quote those verses during weddings, and we quote those verses, when we want to talk about relationships. But it's right there in the middle because it is the heart of why we serve one another. It's the heart of why we're a blessing to one another. And so we're going to look at those verses. I do want to mention, we would love to hear from you. We're getting some wonderful reports from connection groups, those of you that you're allowing God to use you. And one connection group, people were just praying for each other, and Spirit of Prophecy was there, different things. And so at the information booth, we just got a little card about the Spirit-filled life. If you would just take 2 minutes to let us know how God's using you or people that you know at Miracle Life, we would love, it would just be a blessing for us to be able to share that with others. Would you do that? All right, again, it's not to brag or to boast or anything, but it's to glorify Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it would be good for us to take some time to really study this text, to understand what it is, because it is a love that is to dominate our life as believers. It is the chief characteristic of God. God is love. And Jesus said that when people see us and see the love that we have for one another, that will be the chief characteristic. And how many of you know that we have, sometimes we've portrayed God as not a God of love? And certainly love has not always been the chief characteristic of believers, has it? And so we have this wonderful text to help us, to lead us to that place. Now, during these weeks that we do it, I think it'll be good just to read this in its entirety. And we won't comment on every verse every week. But I think as we hear this and hear what God says, I think it'll help us immensely. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Isn't that a wonderful text? So there was a time last year, 2016, I was watching the news, and there was a tragic event that had happened in the world, and aren't there too many of those? I don't know if it's just that we have more cameras and news, or that it really, it is heightened, but how many know it's just quite discouraging, isn't it? to see what we're capable of doing to one another. Anyway, it was one of those days again. And so then there was response after that, and an artist that I admire, I like what he does. And he made this statement, and he said, love is love. Love is love. Meaning kind of that, however you do it, however you express it, to whom you express it, it has to be all good because love is love. Well, kind of makes for a catchy song. But when we look into the Bible, what we will determine is that everything that we call love is not necessarily love. Everything that's on Channel O or Hot FM is not all what the Bible determines to be love, right? So there is a type of love and a description of love that is to be the characteristic of how we treat one another. Amen? My wife and I, last night we watched a nice romantic comedy. It was definitely made by women, for women. Anyway, it was all good. It was fine. All right. So it's going to cost you Fast and Furious 8, you know. All right. So, but you know, we have an idea that, you know, love as it's portrayed in movies or poems or Valentine's Day. But God has gone to great lengths to depict and describe what his love looks like and how that love is to flow through our life. Now, wouldn't you agree that God invented love? All right, he is the author of love. And so if he did, I would rather allow him to be the one to describe it and to define it and help us to understand it than maybe the Beatles. Right? Or someone else, or someone that writes romantic novels, all right? Because it really is, it's important that we get this right. I know a pastor one time, and he was counseling a couple, and they were struggling in their marriage, and the wife said, what are you looking for? What are you hoping that God will do? And she described a movie star and a movie. And she said, I want him to love me like that. And the pastor said this to the lady. He said, you do realize there's a reason why they call it acting. Okay. Sadly, many of those people on the screen, when you look at their real life, their real love life, not so great. All right. They find it harder in real life than when someone is paying you $4 million to act like you love someone. Okay. So the word love today is broadly used. All right. I'm speaking from the English word love. All right. And so it describes how some people feel about Real Madrid. Okay. Or how they feel about the ref who gave the red card to Bayern Munich. You should love that ref for sure if you're a Real Madrid fan. All right. They talk about, I love Real Madrid. I love my husband. I also love Bream over charcoal. I just love it. Well, how many of you know those are quite different loves? All right, your action and the feelings and the endurance, all right? But again, when we kind of just all combine it, we struggle. Then we come to church and we sing a song, Jesus, we love you. Like Bream Fish, I love you. Like Manchester United, I love you. Except I get more excited about them than I do about you. And I make more time in my life for them than I do for you, but that's a whole nother, right? Okay. So the Greek language that the New Testament was written in, it had multiple words for love, not just one. You may have heard the Inuit people of northern Canada. They have, it's debatable, but maybe around 50 words for snow and ice. Right? In Zambia, we have one word for snow. What is it? You know, we don't need 50 words. Correct? Okay. So because it's a big part of their life. It's a big part of what they do. So in the Greek language, there were different words. And so when we look into the scripture, when we see the word love, sometimes we think, oh yeah, I really loved my girlfriend, you know, 5 years ago. Well, we want to allow 1 Corinthians 13 to speak to us, because you're going to see that the agape love of God is quite different than the love that you and I sometimes use that word for. Okay? So there were three words predominantly in the Greek language for love. And we understand these, all right? And they're part of our life, but they broke it down into different words. So one word that the Greek language used for love was eros, where we get the word erotic. All right. And don't worry. You don't have to take your kids out. We're not going to talk about that today. All right. But it is just that. It is romantic love. It is husband and wife sexual love. I said husband and wife. Okay. So that's where God designed erotic love to be, to have. And married couples, are you happy that there is a thing called erotic love? Are you happy? Okay. All right. We're not taking a video of this. Okay. All right. In the Bible, while it was written in Hebrew, Song of Solomon's, but Song of Solomon, the book there, it speaks of this type of love, romantic husband and wife, physical sexual love. All right. So that's one type of love. And that's a lot of what the world thinks of love when they think of it. All right. There's a second word, and it's actually used in the Bible as well. Phileo love. And that is fraternal love. It's where we get the word philanthropic. And it simply means that it is tender affection. All right. So you may have friends in your life, and you're not married to them, but you care about them and you value their friendship. When Jesus got to Bethany and Lazarus, the Bible said it was his friend, when he had died, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. How he loved him. That's the word phileo. It is a wonderful kind of love between friends, all right? Then there is another word, and it is the word that's used predominantly in the New Testament for love, and it is agape, agape love. And it is a love that is divine in its origin. It comes from heaven. All right. And so those other loves, eros and phileo, God can certainly help you to have him at the center of those loves. All right. But agape is not possible without God. When the Bible says God is love, it's that word. He is agape. It is the word that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. John 3:16, for God so... He didn't just like the world, that was friends with, no, he agaped the world. He agaped the world and he sent his only son. So this word is amazing because it expresses the very nature of God. When God is revealed, there are many words that describe him. He is merciful. He is kind. He is a jealous God. All right. And that he wants us as his own. But there's only one phrase, which God is love. It's a nature. It's anywhere you touch God, when you come in contact with him, you come in contact with agape love, the love of God. All right. So it is who he is, but then it is to be how we live our life. All right. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says to him, a new commandment I give to you. Now, this was not in the Ten Commandments. All right, so this is new, and what we discover in the New Testament is when you do this, you do all the others. When you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. All right, so we're thinking, we'll be buddies, you know, and I'll be romantic with my wife. Okay, but here's the clincher. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That kind of love. I think when we see this DVD in heaven, I don't think the disciples are smiling. All right? Because how many of you know, Peter and John, they didn't really get along every day. Right? Thomas thought, oh, I doubt I could do that. Right? There were a fair number of internal wranglings among the disciples. And these were people that Jesus brought, and he picked them on purpose. And these were people that were being molded and shaped by him. And yet this was not an easy thing to do. So love one another. How? What kind of love? Agape love. The same love that I've given to you and I've shown you. You love one another. By this, by what? Loving one another with the agape love of God. All right. So by this, all will know you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. For one another. We had this, we'd let you know about connection groups. But here's the thing, if you're not in an environment of one another, you can't obey this verse. And I'm so glad you came to church today, and there's really great advantages. But I have found that coming to church on a Sunday morning doesn't give me 100 opportunities to obey that verse. I've got to be in relationship with people. One another. One another. All right. Now, there, we have a responsibility to those outside of the church. All right. And the Bible speaks clear, but we have a big thing to God, how we treat one another. All right. So if you're not in a connection group, get into a one another context. All right. So this love comes from heaven, and it is to be the chief characteristic, not only of how God is and how he treats us, but it's to be the chief characteristic of our life. Now, at this point, probably if you're like me, I'm thinking, how do I love like that? How do I love like that? When I really understand what agape love is, and when we start digging into 1 Corinthians 13:4-6, and it's described, I go, yay. That is a love that is different than just what I can muster up, right? It's different than you love me a little bit and I'll return it. And if you don't love me, well, I'm not going to return it. All right. Up and down and all over the place. So one of the things we understand from the Bible is that when we love one another, we're to love wholeheartedly, sincerely, the Bible says. So it's not fake love. Have you ever been loved with fake love? After a while, you kind of can tell, can't you? All right. You realize this is not the real stuff. Okay. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, because God has provided already a solution for us to obey Jesus. All right. Because Jesus said, love one another, agape one another as I have agaped you. That's going to be difficult. Yep. But I'm going to empower you to do it. Aren't you glad that anything we read that God says, I need you to do this, that he gives us the grace to do it? All right. That's what makes Christianity so different. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that on Easter. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Notice this, rest of this verse. Because the love of God, all right, it's the agape of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, if you're a believer, if you are a child of God, you're born again, something happened when you said yes to Jesus, when you made him your Lord and Savior. The Bible calls it regeneration. All right? You didn't just get a certificate. All right? You didn't just get wet when you got baptized. Something happened on the inside. You became what 2 Corinthians 5:17, you became a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So there was something that happened, and it's important that we understand what happened. Again, last week we understood that when that happened, we became right with God. We were justified. We were given God's righteousness as our nature. But the other thing that the Holy Spirit, so when the Holy Spirit was given, the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God comes to us at the new birth, he comes with something. All right? And it says it's been poured out. So in a sense, when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, he comes with the love of God and he pours it out into our heart. Listen to this from the New American Standard. It says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So within our heart today is the agape love of God. In a real sense, it is unscriptural to pray, God, give me the love I need for my kids. No, 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 just go check your bank account. Open your cupboard. It is already there. Now, what a scriptural prayer would be, Father, help me to learn how to yield to that love. So you don't need more love. You need to understand that you have that love. It has been deposited in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and it is available to you. Okay? But one of the things we saw is when we were doing that other series was that as we flow in the gifts of the Spirit because we love one another, Paul made mention of things like, I will pray in the Spirit, I will pray in the understanding, I will sing. There's this will that's involved. Now, how many of you would admit that you don't want to love all the time? All right, so if you got a vote and God says, what's your vote about loving this person? I vote no. Right? And we have reasons why, don't we? All right, so whenever we are voting no, typically we are not yielding to the love of God. We're not accessing the agape of God. It's already there, but it is lying dormant. It is sitting in the cupboard. All right? And how many of you know there may be food at your house that you're not eating, not because it's not there, you just aren't accessing it. All right? Now, if you're a single guy, you don't understand what we're saying right now. Because you're accessing all the food you can get your hands on. All right? Amen. All right. So, when we were born again, God gave us the ability to love one another. He actually did. It was credited to us. It's been poured out in our heart. That's the picture, is that there's this container and it's just been poured out into our container. Tell your neighbor, I've got love. Tell your other neighbor, I've got enough. All right? Now, regardless of whether you are good at this or not, all right, whether you access this love on a regular basis, regardless of that, if you're born again, it is absolutely possible for you to love like this consistently. Consistently. All right? Now, I know you're waiting to tell me, but Pastor, you don't know. You don't know. You want to explain your situation. Well, no. Let's look at the Word of God. All right? And we're going to be very clear about what love is and what love isn't. All right? So there are misunderstandings in the body of Christ about really what divine love is. How does God treat us? Okay. But one of the, a great song that has really perfect theology is a song I learned when I was 6 years old. I have the love of Jesus, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? I know it gets annoying after a while. In my heart. But that song is, it's accurate. It's Romans 5:5. Where's the love of Jesus? Oh, it's in heaven. Oh, it's in my aura. It's in create. No. It's in the heart of every believer is the same love that sent Jesus to the cross. That love has been credited to you. It's been deposited in your heart. Amen. I have the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus down in my heart. Now, here's the thing. My wife doesn't need it to be down in my heart. She needs it to be out in my actions. Okay? There's a big difference, isn't there? Thank God it's in your heart, but let's get it out. Okay? Turn loose. Okay? Now, I thought this was interesting, that, single folks, I hope you're getting an idea of what marriage is from the Word. All right? Not from Hollywood. All right? Not even your friends. Okay? My wife and I have told you, right? You know, when we had our 25th wedding anniversary last year. And in all actuality, you know, we had a wonderful celebration. It was awesome and everything. But what really we could have said was, you know, thank you for coming to our 25th wedding anniversary. I tell you, we've had 19 wonderful years. When you really add them all up, 18, 19, I don't know. Okay. And sometimes people will say to us, because they, you know, they see us at church and they'll say, oh, I just love the way you treat each other. Well, you weren't at my house on Thursday, were you? Right? You don't see the whole picture, you know? And people, you know, people see this like with celebrity couples, right? Oh, do you see how he treats her? No. The cameras are rolling. Okay? The cameras are rolling. Okay. You have no idea, honestly. You have no idea what their life is like or their marriage is like. Okay. So, but again, we get this picture of what we want. Okay. Please get it from the Word of God. All right. And husbands and wives, you need someone who's going to agape you. All right. And that is one of the reasons that believers are commanded implicitly. Don't marry someone outside of the Christian faith. Because the best they're going to be able to do is eros and phileo. Maybe. Right? And that is not enough for a marriage. Okay? You need the agape love of God. Oh, but he's so sweet. Oh, but you need more than a BMW. Okay? In fact, you don't even need a BMW. Right? Okay. Well, he has such a nice complexion. Well, just wait 10 years. He won't. All right? And all the married people over 45 said, amen. Amen. All right. You better love the person. Yeah. So, if we are to, and that Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, agape. Is eros included? Yes, phileo included, but he didn't say that. He said, husbands, agape your wife. Agape your wife. Well, you see, we make this statement at weddings, knowing that this love is only in the heart of one who belongs to God. I ask you this day, have you given Jesus, made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? Amen? All right, so when you come to me and you say, well, you know, are they a Christian? You tell Pastor William, we say, hey, are they a believer? They say so. No. What you should be able to say is, they are so proficient in agape. Of course they're Christians. It's obvious that they're Christian. Why? How do you distinguish? Because of that. See, if they're not a believer, they don't have access to agape. There's no reservoir. It is impossible to love like this. All right? Amen. So if you want agape into your life, you've got to pick a believer. And you have to pick a believer who is already flowing in agape. All right? And if that means you have to wait 2 years, so what? Amen. All right. All right. Let's get to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to take some time to see how it's described, and we'll just kind of go each week by week, see how far we get. All right. 1 Corinthians 13. The first three verses are a prelude, right? It's giving the importance of love. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What does that mean? It means that you are calling attention to yourself, okay? Self-serving. Now, how many of you know someone like that has very little benefit to somebody else? All right, very, very impractical, of little use. And what's the other thing about a cymbal or a gong? One translation says like a squeaky door. You know what the other thing is they are annoying. Okay, so they have this supernatural spiritual ability, but love is not at the center. They are at the center. They just are annoying. All right. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I could understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and faith comes by hearing. So, man, I've got this faith that could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Nil. Zero. Okay. That's telling us that you're living. How many know God didn't design you to be a nothing? Okay. So if you have this knowledge, spiritual knowledge and faith, and typically that kind of gets you noticed, doesn't it? All right. But you don't have love. You're way, way, way below the potential that God has for your life. The potential that God has for your life. All right. Verse 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. You certainly would make the newspaper, wouldn't you? But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, isn't that amazing that it says that you can give copious amounts without love being attached to it? In my opinion, that happens at kitchen parties regularly. Somebody got a freezer, but there wasn't love attached to it. And what God wants you to do is have love attached to any sacrifice, any gift. All right? It doesn't mean we stop giving freezers, all right? But we do what 2 Corinthians 9 tells us. Give as you purpose in your heart. Well, what's in your heart? What's been poured out in your heart? The love of, not stinginess, The love of God has been poured out in our heart. Okay. But sometimes we give really to appease a terrorist rather than to yield to the love of God. Why are you laughing? Mm-hmm. All right. So, things that, to me, this kind of covers the things, especially in Christianity, that we think are the big deals. All right? Spiritual gifts, angelic tongues. All right? All these things operated in all nine gifts and a tenth one that you don't even know about. That was given just to me. All right? So I got that, and I'm a PhD. I've got all this knowledge. I can explain and argue, and it's practical in that it helps me to trust God, and I'm a sacrificial giver. But all those things are possible without love. And God is saying, it's zero. It's zero. It profits you nothing. It profits you nothing. Now, here's just a thought that I think is scriptural, is that giving, what we see from the New Testament is that when we give, God has a plan for that giving to open up doors for us to receive. Right? I mean, that Jesus said it, Paul said it, it's throughout the Bible. As you give, you receive. All right? But if you're giving without love, what does it profit you? What does your giving profit you? Nothing. So, that might be a place to check. If you can say over the last 3 years, I tell you what, I've given and given and given. I'm so tired of giving. Nothing ever happens to me. It could be that it was done without love and it profits you nothing. Okay? So, let's look at these characteristics. Verse 4. What is the love of God? What does it look like? All right? Now, some of us have heard this description. It's patient, kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Listen to it from the Message Bible. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Is that really in the Bible? Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. How many know there's some people that literally is all they want? What they don't have. Okay? Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. All right. Tell your neighbor, help me, Jesus. All right. Now remember, as we go through these, God is giving us this description in so many different angles and viewpoints of what His love looks like, all right, so that we can understand it. All right. Now, we've already said and we've determined from Scripture, you already have this love. You have access to this love. All right. But we also don't, James says it's possible to be self-deceived. All right. And somebody says, well, I'm loving my spouse. Agape version? Because that's what it looks like. Amen? Because you may need to look to another place for that type of love. So, what's a characteristic? It is patient. Another word is it endures. All right? This love, this agape love, does not have a short shelf life. Okay? It endures. At our house, when I open up fresh milk, I smell it. All right. Especially with load shedding, right? Because you don't want to die. All right. But there's another kind of milk I open up. I never smell it, called Long Life. Long Life milk. And they do something to it. It has a long life. All right. Agape is long life. It has endurance. It stays the test of time. This kind of love outlasts the devil. All right? It outlasts. Oh, my goodness. We sang a song on Good Friday. How deep the Father's love for us. All right, first Ephesians 3 says we are supposed to pray that we would understand the height and the breadth and the depth and the length, the enormity of it. All right? And because it's enormous, guess what? It lasts. It endures. Amen? And so that is the type of love that has been given to us. Ours is too. Our agape love, it does not run out in an hour or a day. All right? It is not shallow. It is not used up in just minutes. All right? So if you feel like, that person, this situation, I could just love them for 2 minutes. Well, you're probably using another source of love. All right? The agape love of God. What's another characteristic we see? It says that it is kind. It cares for others. All right? Message Bible said it cares for others more than for self. Okay, so the agape love of God and the love of God that's working in our hearts means that we are genuinely interested in what is helpful and beneficial for others. We are genuinely interested in what is helpful and beneficial for others. You see, if you're a married person and you have a faithfulness problem, you're not being faithful to your spouse. You, the unfaithful person, you have an agape problem. All right? Because if I sit down and say, all right, I'm going to get a girlfriend. Who am I thinking about? Me. Not even really thinking about the girlfriend. I'm thinking about me. Is that what is beneficial for my wife? Does that benefit her? No. See, agape doesn't cause us to do that. Oh, but she doesn't respect me. She doesn't cook for me. She doesn't. Well, did that stop Jesus from going to the cross? Huh? Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. All the disciples, gone. Except John. Who's going to take care of my mother? Oh, I guess I've got one choice. Oh, Jesus really loved John. He picked him. No, he was the last man standing. I guess you'll have to do. And you want to kill Samaritans, but everybody else is gone. Right? That didn't stop Jesus from loving. That didn't stop him. If your love for wife is based on a menu, oh my God, that's not even phileo love. Here's the deal. That is toddler love. Our kids would get mad at my wife if they didn't like what was, for dinner. Mommy, I want more, put syrup in it. Timothy had this little thing and he had both little things had to be filled with syrup, golden syrup. And when those things were gone, he just threw a fit. The world is coming to an end. The syrup is gone. And yet we've got husbands that my wife won't wake up at 23 hours and cook me in Shema. I guess I'll have to get a girlfriend. That is toddler love. That is not agape love. You are not yielding to the love of God that sent Jesus to the cross. Let's be real, folks, hey? It's not the love of God. It's not the love of God. Amen. The love of God means you eat burnt and shema. Honey, how is it? I love you. I didn't know Enshima was supposed to be crunchy until now. Love you, baby. Love you. Oh, the agape love of God is stronger than a menu. It's stronger than wrinkles on a face. It's stronger than hairs that fall out from time to time. Hallelujah. Oh, how deep the Father's love for us. How deep our love for one another. Amen. So it's caring for one another. Cares more for others than for self. Okay? Now, it also means that I want to do what is benefiting someone else. I want to bless them. I want to benefit their lives. So if you're a parent, how many of you know that just giving your kids sweets all day long, that's not benefiting their life, isn't it? Well, you know, honey, we're going to limit Cartoon Network. You know, we're going to limit it to 5 hours a day. Ah! Here comes the demon, right? The head twirls, right? Because you've said no. Well, but see, it's not a matter of them even liking you. I'm doing what is beneficial for them. Well, you're going to stay home this weekend, except for Impact Youth, and do your homework. Why? Because it's beneficial for who? For them. It will not be beneficial for you. You're going to get the silent treatment. Huh? If they're over 13, they're going to go on Facebook. Some people. Some parents. Oh, which ones are you referring to, right? You want what's best for them. You want what's best for them. Best for them. Okay? That's how you make decisions. All right? Because here's the thing. Whoever that person is that we're interacting with, God has a plan for their life. God has an agenda for their life. And say, God, you know what? I want to get on your side. I want to get on your side. I want to have your heart for them. For them. And it doesn't always mean just making them happy or pacifying their sin. Right? That's not love. That is not God's love. All right? That is not his plan. Okay? So, you know, our kids are in university and God is moving in their life and doing great things for their life and his plan is unfolding in their life. Okay? But we could have said, you know, we don't have any more family. They're all gone. Just stay with us. Stay with us. We'll pay you to work at Miracle Life. Stay here. Stay here. Would that be what's beneficial for them? No, it wouldn't. All right? It would be wrong. It's not kind, nor is it caring. Okay? So the agape love of God, when it's working in our hearts towards other people, that is at the center, not our self-interests. Okay? Kenneth Hagin, who was a mentor to my wife and I, went to his school. He said that every day, he was married 60 some years, every day he would make his wife breakfast and they'd have bacon and eggs, all right? And I think he would make one strip for himself and one strip for her. And every single day, he'd look at those two strips of bacon and see which one is better. That's hers. Every day. So maybe even before you greet your wife, you're already thinking, I'm going to give her the better one and I'm going to take the crumpled one, the burnt one. Putting someone else above you. You may have heard the story of it's a short story long ago, The Gift of the Magi, set in New York City, and it was the day before Christmas. And this lady, her glory was, she had long, long, long hair, all right, past her waist. And she and her husband were just struggling financially. They had not much to put together. And so she had $1.87 and she wanted to find a gift for her husband. And she just cried. What kind of a gift am I going to get for that? And she decided to cut off her hair and sell it. Sold it for $22. And with $21, she went and got a gold chain for her husband's family watch that he treasured, and it was very valuable. And she thought, you know, he always wanted one of these, but the only way she could give it to him was to sacrifice. And so she came, and obviously the husband sees the hair and, well, no, let's give these gifts and I'll explain it. And so he opens up and he sees this gold chain for his watch, and he's flabbergasted because he had just sold his watch and bought her very fancy combs so she could put her hair up. How many know, maybe the presents didn't work out, but I bet you the marriage worked out with that kind of sacrificial love for one another. The love of God is not jealous, nor is it envious. All right, it doesn't want what it doesn't have. Okay, so when I'm envious and when I'm jealous, guess what? My eyes are on something that they really should not be on. All right, it means my attention is focused elsewhere. I'm not really taking care of business right now. Okay, and in 2017, it is so much easier to be envious. All right? Imagine, you know, our relatives 500 years ago, wherever they were, if they were going to be envious, they physically had to go, right? And see somebody that didn't have what they had. All right? Guess what? Now, today, it is everywhere. Every billboard. Go to Dubai. And there's a man and a woman, they're smiling. Wish I could smile in Dubai. Right? There's a reason why the people that sell cars keep the cars in buildings that are made of glass. Now we drive down Great East Road. Jaguar. Hadn't really been thinking about a Jaguar, but I am now. I've ridden in one. It'll change your life. It will. I drove somebody's one time. The thing, it's made out of walnut. I just kept going like this. I just kept, you know. But see, now, I didn't know I wanted one. I didn't know that. But now, I do. Right? Right? And with social media and advertising, now I just want their life. I just want that. No. That's not the love of God. Right? Really, I think most, well, I shouldn't say most, a lot of advertising is just based on envy. Wanting what you don't have. Okay? All right, you can have this life. God's love, sacrificial love, means my eyes are on Jesus. How are we going to run our race? How do we make it to the end? Fix your eyes on Jesus. On Jesus, not on every ad that comes on the TV. Fix our eyes on Jesus and that love. And when my eyes are on Jesus, my next gaze will be on you. How can I bless your life? How can I think to benefit you? All right? God's love will change us. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. Okay? Again, today, it's so much easier to do that. Message Bible says it doesn't strut. How many realize there are new ways to strut these days? All right? We also don't brag about loving. All right? You know, you do something nice, then you post hashtag compassion. Hashtag feeling good about my sacrifice. Hashtag I hope you saw it. And then we count how many people saw it. Right? I don't think Jesus retweeted his miracles. No. Except there were some times where Jesus, he did a miracle and he told the people, shh, shh, shh. Amen. Just practice that. The next 10 kind acts you do, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Be like Jesus. Matthew 6:1. Watch out. If Jesus says watch out, what does that mean? Okay, I'm paying attention now. Watch out. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. What is that? Oh, fantastic gift. But when you give to someone in need, so this is talking about alms, all right, so there is a person that you know that's in need. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Hallelujah. Amen. Message Bible says, love does not have a swelled head. You know, a characteristic of the love of God is it doesn't have to be repaid. When you utter this phrase or think this thought, after all I've done for you, this is how you repay me. My son, do you know how much I sacrificed for you? I gave tuition. I breastfed you. And this is how you treat your, this is, well, guess what? Now we know why you did it. You were doing it like a unit trust. Invest now, get a payback later. That's not how we treat one another. Amen. Because God is our source. God is our Father. Amen. And there are times in life, and you just got to get used to it, the people that you are going to be the most generous towards are not necessarily the people that God uses to be generous back to you. So just get used to it. Amen. And don't close up that compassion. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you that you loved us first, because we would have no idea how to do this. But you loved us first. You gave your son. You sacrificed because of who you are and because of your nature. But God, now you have made it possible for us to partake of your nature, live in your nature. And Father, we thank you so much. Lord, help us. Help us to understand this love. Help us to yield to this love. Father, I pray for people right now who are in situations where it might be confusing how to express that love, what to do in that moment. Father, I thank you for illuminating our eyes. Father, maybe where some have been, what they think is love is, it's really not your love. Lord, help us to see that. And Father, where we have been withholding or things like pride or ego, self-centeredness has kind of clogged the pipes. It's gotten in the way of your love being released, Father. We just yield that. We repent of that, God. We allow your love to have full course in our lives, in our relationships, in everything that we do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us to yield to that wonderful love. Father, I ask you right now for us right now. Lord, I thank you that you would give us practical steps for today, for Monday morning, God. Maybe how we do our breakfast. God, how we speak to one another. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help me, God. Help me to love like Jesus. Thank you that I can, that you made it possible. And I believe that all of us, God, are taking steps that way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, Jesus Christ went to a cross. He died the death of a criminal for one reason, because he loves you. He loves you. He knows what your life is about. He knows the struggles that you're going through. If you don't know him, Or if you're a backslidden Christian, not only does he understand your pain, but he's done something about it. And he made a way to his Father. He is the way. He is the door. There's no other way. And you can come to him now. While his love is amazing and it is extravagant, it does have to be received. But I'm pleading with you, don't reject his love. Don't reject his salvation and the plan that he has for you. It's not a matter of going to church or being religious or even being kind. It's a matter of open up your heart to Jesus and say, be my Lord, be my Savior. Come into my life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that is me. I need to give Jesus my heart. Let him be my Lord and my Savior. I want to open up to him. Wherever you are right now, I'd like to pray with you. Backslidden Christian, coming home. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Who else will say, that's me? I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Over here. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. Wonderful. Over here. Wonderful. Yeah. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. Oh, he's good, isn't he? If you lifted up your hand and you say, I want to give Jesus my life. I want to receive his salvation and his love today. Just grab your Bible or your handbag, whatever you came to church with. Come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. God is going to do a miracle in your life. He's going to change you from the inside out. Can we give these folks a hand clap as they're coming? He's so good. So wonderful. Amen. That's all right. Yeah, it's okay. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. More than probably we'll ever know. He's going to let you know some of that right now today. God bless you, sir. God bless you. All right. Now, what we'd like to do is receive that wonderful gift that he has for us. And one way is just to, why don't we just lift up one of our hands toward heaven, because that's where all of his gifts and goodness are coming from. Say these words with me. Say, God, just say it out loud. Say, God, I believe that you love me. Jesus died in my place. You punished him so you could be good to me. He was raised from the dead so I could be right. I receive him. I believe his work. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I leave every sin, every wrong thing. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus.